I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn to the book of Proverbs. I would like to read from Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. I would like to begin reading with the 26th verse and read through verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 26 through 29. I encourage you to read the book of Proverbs over and over. I don't think I ever sit down with the book of Proverbs. I don't ever sit down for 10 minutes. But what God just causes part of a verse to just stand out is so beautiful and like something I've never seen before. The book of Proverbs has so many statements. Just it's like every verse is just full of messages for God's people. So I encourage you to read and study the book of Proverbs. I'd like to read now from Proverbs chapter 15. I would remind you of verse 1. Up until around 4 o'clock today, I thought I was going to preach Proverbs 15:1, which says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So I would just say, remember that. Then come down to verse 26. The Word of God says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." And there's going to be a continuous contrast in this passage as well as most of the book of Proverbs. There's a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. The wicked and the righteous. Now, I think that most of the time when people hear the wicked versus the righteous, I think they usually think about children of the devil versus children of God. They think about those who are going to hell versus those who are saved. And that is not the way the Word of God typically uses the word, the wicked and the righteous. God's children are often wicked. Many, many times in the Word of God, I would say almost without exception, most of the time that the word wicked is used, it is not talking about children of the devil, but rather it's talking about children of God who are living very ungodly lives. And so the Word of God here is contrasting, as it does numerous times, the difference in the wicked and the righteous. And the wicked are children of God that are living contrary to the Word of God, and the righteous are children of God who are following God's Word. There are great blessings to the righteous. Now, you don't get to heaven by your own righteousness. You don't get to heaven because you live a righteous life. You don't get to the eternal heaven because of that. But there are great blessings to the righteous. Those that live a right life, there are great blessings to them. That's explained here. Says in verse 26, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer." What does that mean? The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. That's right. So many times, have you ever been asked a question and you just gave an answer and then you got to thinking about it and you thought, you know, I did not answer that correctly. So I would ask you to be slow to speak. Don't give a quick answer. My granddaddy Mims was an old preacher that when my daddy would ask him a question, it typically would take, I would say, at least 5 minutes before he would begin to respond. When Daddy would ask him a biblical question, Granddaddy would just sit there and look and just quiet. My daddy was a minute man. Everything was done quickly, and it made him very angry for Granddaddy not to answer him quickly. And he would sometimes say to Granddaddy, "Brother Mims, did you hear what I said? Did you hear the question?" And Granddaddy didn't respond quickly. He still just would sit there and look. You could not provoke him to talk quickly. He's much like Brother McKinley Wright, that very slow to speak. The Word of God, if you'll study it, you'll find that it's a man of wisdom that is slow to speak rather than being quick to answer. And so he says in verse 28 here, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. That is, he thinks carefully about what does God's Word say about this matter. And he gets his thoughts organized before he begins to give an answer. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You ever done that? Poured out evil things? Your mouth ever said things that you wished you could take back and you couldn't? That's the way we are sometimes. Verse 29 says, and this is the main thought that's on my heart tonight. The Word of God says in verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked. And I want us to understand that sometimes we're wicked and sometimes God, the way the Word of God expresses it here, is sometimes God is far away from us. Sometimes we have moved far away from God. And the way the Scripture is saying it here is the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayers of the righteous. So when we're wicked, we need to understand that we're going to find out occasionally, God is far away and I can't find God anywhere. I've moved far away from God. God will not hear my prayers. The Word of God says in 2 Chronicles, and all of you know this verse by heart, 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Word of God says, if my people, now remember, we're talking about God's people. Who did Jesus save? The Word of God says, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And He saved His people. And the Lord judges His people. And God says now in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, He's talking about you, if my people, which are called by my name, they're identified as Christians in America today. And He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Is that a condition about whether or not He will even hear our prayers? Is there something we have to do before God will hear our prayers? The Word of God, I think, says that very clearly there. He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So it is that I pray that God will help us to understand that the people of God, if my people that are sometimes wicked, He says here, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayers of the righteous. He'll hear your prayers. It's a great blessing to know. Have you ever, and I encourage you to do this, I encourage you to keep a record of your prayers. I know that we have a prayer list of the church, but you need to have your own prayer list. I have my prayer list, and all of us ought to have our own prayer list, and you need to write down the things that you're praying for. And as you write those things down, you need to keep a record of it, and as God answers those prayers and blesses individuals that you're praying for, and you can see the hand of God working in doing things that you're praying about, you need to put a check by that and say, God heard somebody's prayer in this matter. It's a prayer I was praying about. It may not have been my prayer, but He heard. And sometimes, listen, sometimes, how many of you have ever felt God heard my prayer? Have you ever felt that way? God heard my prayer. I think it's a dangerous thing to run around telling everybody, well, the reason you got well is because God heard my prayer. That's a very pharisaical and haughty and high-minded thing to think or to say. In fact, I think anybody that says that is far from the Lord. They're wicked. The wicked person that goes around saying, you know, God healed you because of my prayer. It's a self-righteous thing to say. And yet there have been many times in my life that as I have seen God working, that I have felt the assurance in my heart that my prayers have not been in vain, that God has given me witness. His Spirit has borne witness with mine. I've heard your prayers. It may not have been only my prayers, but my prayer was heard in many instances, and your prayers have been heard. The Word of God says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? What are the last two words there? Availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And brethren, that individual that's under consideration there is not one that's made righteous just by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is righteous by the blood of Christ, but he's also righteous because he's living the way the Word of God says for him to live. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God hears his prayer. The Lord, what does the text say here in Proverbs 15? He says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. It's a great blessing to know that God does hear our prayers if we're trying to follow his word and his way. Back up with me in the Bible to the book of Joshua. You remember the children of Israel, after they came out of Egyptian bondage, and then they come through the wilderness, and then they begin to go into the land of Canaan, and they march around the walls of Jericho. Was God near to the people of God while they were marching around the walls of Jericho? Was God near to them, or was God far from them right then? God was near to them. Right at that point in time, the children of Israel were doing exactly what God told them to do. They were doing it exactly the way God told them to do it. Did you know that God often tells us to do things that we can't comprehend why we have to do what he's telling us to do? Did you know that? That's true numerous times in the Word of God. I mentioned this morning, tried to preach about when Moses cut that tree down and cast it in the water. Does that make sense to anybody here to cut a tree down and cast it into the water? Does that make sense to you that if I cut this tree down and throw it into the water, it's going to make sweet water? That doesn't make sense. It's not that it makes sense. It's that it doesn't make sense. But a man's faith in God is so strong, he does what God says to do, even if it doesn't make sense. When God told that leper to go and wash in that dirty river, that didn't make sense to him, but he did what God told him to do finally. And when he did what God told him to do, he was healed of his leprosy. So I just want all of you to know there are times God tells us to do things that don't make sense to us. They will never contradict the Word of God, but God often tells us to do things that don't make sense to us, but they are for our good and his glory. Joshua chapter 7 is telling us about an occasion where they walked around the walls of Jericho. Now, everything they did here doesn't make sense as far as the wisdom of men goes. It took a tremendous amount of faith. They were close to God when they just marched around the walls of Jericho and did step by step everything that they were told to do. And then they began to blow those trumpets and the walls of Jericho fell down and they won a great victory in Joshua chapter 6. And then we come on into chapter 7 and they go to the next city. And what happens at the next city? The little city of Ai. Oh, they got whipped. That's right. Brother Jerry said they got whooped. Brother David, I get them mixed up sometimes. But listen, yeah, they look a lot alike, Brother David said. The point is that the children of Israel, who had walked so closely with the Lord at Jericho, the children of God, the children of Israel, who were righteous at Jericho, the children of God, who were so fearful of the enemy and so trusting in the Lord, their faith was strong at Jericho. They got to the city of Ai, and there was dung in the camp. You remember us studying that not too long ago? There was dung in the camp, and God would not bless the children of Israel. And they went against the city of Ai, and they lost the battle there. Have you ever won some battles you thought you couldn't win? Have you ever won some battles you thought you couldn't win? Have you ever lost some battles you thought you couldn't lose? Well, do you know what makes the difference? It's the presence of the Lord. So it is, they came to Ai, and they lost the battle. I want you to understand why they lost the battle. What does the text say in Proverbs chapter 15? It says, the Lord is far from whom? The wicked. And right now, in Judges chapter 7, Joshua chapter 7, right now, the children of Israel are wicked. There's wickedness in the camp, and they haven't purged that wickedness, and that wickedness has caused the whole camp to be wicked. Did you know wickedness in one family can corrupt the whole family? Did you know wickedness in a church can corrupt the whole body? The Word of God says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I'm concerned about me and my family and about us and this church and about our nation that as we condone ungodliness, it will corrupt, it will spread. How many times have you seen families where a father was very ungodly and you found the children ended up following in those footsteps over and over? How many people right now are deadbeats in our society and their fathers and their mothers were deadbeats, and you just watch and you'll see their children are turning out the same way. You find generation after generation of corruptness and evil, and the Lord is far from the wicked, but the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. May God help us to be righteous rather than wicked, because I don't want to wake up and find... You remember how, wasn't it Samson, that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him and he didn't know that God... Wasn't that Samson, that he did not know the Lord had departed from him? Wouldn't you hate to wake up sometimes and think that you were with God and God was with you, and all of a sudden you woke up and you realize God wasn't with you, God's far away from you? Do you know what causes that in the lives of God's people? Wickedness. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Now look at Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. The Word of God says, "Then the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed." Who were they accursed by? Who were they accursed by? By God. Yes. This is God's people now. This is God's chosen people. This is the people that He set apart for a holy use. These are the people that were sanctified by God. These were a people that God was going to use in a mighty way, and they become accursed. And then the last part of that verse, after it says they were accursed, God says, "Neither will I be with you anymore." Isn't that a horrible thing to hear? I'm leaving you. I won't be with you anymore. "Neither will I be with you anymore." And then He says, "Except ye destroy the accursed from among ye." You hear what God says? The only way, God says, the only way that I'm going to be with you is if you destroy the accursed from among you. You have to get the wicked out from among you before I'll be with you. I pray that God will impress upon every one of our hearts exactly how that applies to our lives. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. But if ye forsake Him... Have you ever forsaken the Lord in order to be with the wicked? Do people sometimes forsake the Lord in order to be with the wicked? I know a church right now that has a member that's in jail. The pastor's trying to get the church to deal with that member. And one of the members, a prominent member of the church, said, "If you exclude him, that man that's in jail, if you exclude him from jail, I'm getting out of the church." Now, brethren, that man is in a very dangerous situation. Did you know that? That man is in open rebellion to what God's Word teaches. You and I need to realize that as long as we hold on to the wicked, as long as we're going to hold on to the world and the things of the world and the ways of the world and the people of the world, as long as you attach and hold on to them, you hold on all you want to, but you're going to wake up one day and find out the Lord is far from me and He will not hear my prayers. Was there something that Israel could do in order for the Lord to return to them? Did they do what they were supposed to do in order for the Lord to return to them? They did. And they found great victory, because eventually, again, the Lord heard their prayers. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayers of the righteous. Go with me to Psalm 66. Look at Psalm 66. Listen to what the Word of God says here in Psalm 66. David is talking here. Now, let me ask you this. Is David a wicked man or a righteous man? Which one is David? That's right. That's right. Depends on what day of the calendar you knock on his door. Is that the way it is with you sometimes? Yes. Depends on what time of day on some days. And so it is that David sometimes was wicked and sometimes was righteous. Let me ask you this question. Is this that Solomon wrote in Proverbs, that the Lord is far from the wicked, but heareth the prayers of the righteous? Was that something that just came into being at that time when Solomon wrote that? No, it's always true. God's Word is always true. It's something that had been true from the Garden of Eden, hadn't it? The Lord was with Adam and Eve as long as they lived righteously. The Lord manifested Himself to them in a wonderful way and a peaceful way. But when they became wicked, the Lord was far from them. Listen to Psalm 66 now, beginning in verse 16. David is talking about the realization that he knows that the Lord is with him as long as he lives right, but he knows the Lord is far from him when he's wicked. In Psalm 66, beginning in verse 16, the Word of God says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Listen to me," he says, "ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." He's going to rejoice that God has heard his prayer. Can't you sometimes do that? See, I want to tell you what God has done for my soul. I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. That's what David is saying here. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You hear what he says? He's just inserting that P.S. right in the middle of this now. He says, the Lord has heard me, but he says now, "But if I regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear me." You see that just inserted in the middle of all that? And then he comes back in verse 19, he says, "But verily God hath heard me." Well, what does that tell you? If he knows that God has heard him, what does that tell David? It tells David that God was pleased with his life at that point in time. It tells David, right now, you're not far from me. Right now, you're not wicked, because the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. David's saying, God's hearing my prayer. I know he hears my prayer. And he's rejoicing that God has heard his prayer. Verse 20 says, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." All through the Word of God, the Bible tells us over and over, seek the Lord while he what? While he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Call upon him while he's near. Why? Because if you don't call upon him while he is near, and if you don't seek the Lord while he may be found, you're going to wake up one day and he's far from you and he will not hear your prayers. That's hell on earth, brethren. That's hell on earth. When you cry to the Lord and God says, "I will not hear your prayer." And when God will not hear your prayers, I want you to always remember that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, but our sins have separated between us and God. That's what the Scripture lays forth repeatedly. And the cause of God moving far from us is because we've moved far from God. The cause of God not hearing our prayers is because we've become wicked. Redeemed by the blood of Christ and yet wicked? I'm asking you a question. Can one be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and yet be called wicked by God? Indeed, he can. Go with me to the New Testament just a moment, if you will. Jesus makes this statement in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus sets forth this principle. How does this make you feel? How does this message make you feel? Good or bad? How does it make you feel? Well, Robbie, good or bad? Say it again. Okay, it makes you feel good if you're living close to God. Why? Because the Lord heareth the prayers of the righteous. Isn't that a great blessing? The God of heaven and earth hears your prayers. Isn't that wonderful? It makes you feel good if you're living close to God. Listen now to Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." How do you confess Christ before men? How do you do that? It's by living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's by people looking at you and saying, you know, that is a Christian. There's somebody, and by the way, in today's society, you will look rather weird, you'll look rather unusual if you're going to follow the Lord. And Jesus says, "Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." You know what that means? Who's the only mediator between God and man? Who is the only mediator between God and man? Jesus Christ. I remember one time I got on an airplane and there was a young lady sitting next to me and she was wringing her hands and everything. Just we were fixing to take off. And she was just all to pieces. You could just tell. She was just so scared. And I reached down and pulled out my Bible to do some reading. I was on my way to Tupelo, Mississippi to do some preaching. And I reached down and pulled out my Bible. And she grabbed my arm. She said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes." "Why didn't you get them to announce that on the radio that there was a preacher on the plane?" "Oh, dear." I said, "The Lord will hear your prayers. The Lord will hear your prayers." She said, "Yeah, but I want you to pray." I said, "Well, I'm praying, and I'm fine, and I want you to pray." And we prayed together right then, and she got calm in her soul. Now, she was a child of God. She was a righteous child of God. Did you know that? It's not that God wouldn't hear her prayers. It's just that her faith was so weak that she doubted that God was listening to her prayers. She doubted that she was going to make it through that flight. It was her first time flying. She was very scared. But I want you to know that Jesus heard her prayers just as much, if not more, than He heard my prayers. Did you know that? Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, if I want somebody to pray for me, if I can get these little children to pray for me, that does as much or more than any adult in this building. I want these children to pray for me. I think most all of these children, we've got some of the finest little children in the church that are on the face of this earth. They love God. They love the Lord. They're close to Jesus. And God hears their prayers. And He's far from the wicked. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. May God help us to remember that the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Therefore, may God help us to live in a righteous way every day of our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.